amazing moment of triumph, the uniting of Klal Yisrael, the scattering of Ammon. And so we pick up this week where it left off. So we have, important to recall, Klal Yisrael are all together in Gilgal, right? They've been brought back to the place. That's where Shmuel sent everyone. Let's go back to Gilgal, back to the place where B'nai Yisrael first crossed into Eretz Yisrael, hearkening back to the days of Yehoshua. And it seems like what's happening here, we're renewing the monarchy. And it's not just a renewal of the monarchy, because the first time Shmuel was crowned as king, things didn't go so well. And so we have to have a new crowning of Shmuel, of Shaul, sorry. It's really a renewal of the entry into Eretz Yisrael. We're basically looking at the history of the period of the Shoftim, which was a disaster. Everything that Moshe and Sefer Devarim and Yeshua, the end of Sefer Yeshua, were afraid would happen to B'nai Yisrael after they were gone is exactly what happened. The period ended in total abandonment of Shemiras HaMitzvos, total disunity among the people. You know, it took Chana and Shmuel everything they had to scrape us, bring us back together. And so now we're really hitting the reset button. We're going to Gilgal, and it's going to be let's try this again. It's going to be a Knesset Laaretz 2.0. The army crosses over from fighting Ammon. They cross over the Jordan River. They come back into Eretz Yisrael. They come back into Gilgal. They crown Shaul again. There are Karbanos. Everyone is celebrating. And so that is the moment where we are in now. It's important to keep in mind that this is the scene where everything is happening. So Shmuel is going to take this opportunity where he has the whole people together to give his famous, you know, call his closing argument. Right? Shmuel is still going to be around with the people for a number of prakim still. But this is the moment of real leadership transition. Shaul is going to be firmly ensconced as king. Last in Parakeet Aleph, when Shaul was sending the army to war, so remember, he was telling everyone, you better follow me and follow Shmuel. And they were co-equals. In fact, we were even surprised that Shaul put himself first, because Shmuel was still so involved, not just on the level of a Navi, but on the political level as a Shofi. Now that transition is happening, the entire nation is enthralled with Shaul. He's really going to be taking over, and so that's going to be Shmuel's great moment to give his closing pitch, which, as we'll see, is going to be very, very important for understanding the hashkafa of the whole thing. Let's see, can I just shoot this thing? Yeah, we go. Okay. So the Navi begins, right? Remember, all of Klal Yisrael are gathered together at Gilgal. So the Navi says, Vayomer Shmuel, Kol Yisrael, they're all gathered together. Hinei shamati b'kolchem, I've listened to your voice, the kol asher amartem, li everything you said to me, v'amlich alecha melech. Right? I listened to your voice, and I've given you a king. I highlighted that because, as we're going to see, the theme of the kol is going to be pervasive in this parak. And it already begins with the first thing Shmuel tells them. I've listened to your voice. That's going to be setting up, you know, I listened to you. You are now going to have to listen to me. And you're going to have to listen to Hashem. The Malbim points out right here, I listened to you even though I didn't have to. You know, I didn't have to give you a king. But Shmuel said, I held up my side of the bargain. I listened to your call. What's also interesting is that this is not how Shmuel's speech should have begun. How should the speech have begun? It really should have started with Pasuk Beis. Shmuel begins Pasuk Beis and he says, here's a king before you. I've gotten old, I've gotten very old. Rashi says, why does he say I got old and very old? Because leading Klal Yisrael aged Shmuel prematurely, right? It made him gray. And he says, "Uvanai hinam itchem, you have my sons." It's one of the main indications that whatever sin Shmuel's sons had in Perek Ches was not as simple as the Navi presented it. I've been with you from day one until now. That really should have been the opening pasuk. Opening pasuk should have been, I am old and I am transitioning. And you can see that very clearly because Shmuel's speech has a clear parallel to an earlier speech. Namely, and we're going to come back to this one in the Shir, okay. Yoshua's closing speech. Yoshua has two closing speeches at the end of Sefer Yoshua, Parakaf Gil, Parakaf Dalet. And the first thing Yoshua says when he begins his closing speeches is he says to them, he brings everyone together and he says, Ani zakanti basi bayamim, I've grown old. That's how you start your retirement speech, right? Why am I here? Why am I transitioning? You start by saying, I've gotten old, zakanti, savti, now we're moving on. Shmuel jumps the gun. He begins the speech. The first thing he says is, Shamati b'kolchem. So that's important to realize what he's doing in the speech, right? The idea of listening to the kol, listening to the voice, is going to be the whole theme, and that is starting now. So Shmuel then continues. The first part of the speech is going to be to defend himself. He says, "Hineni anuvi nega Hashem v'neged b'shichau." Answer to me in front of Hashem, in front of His anointed, reminding the people that while Shaul may be the people's choice as king, and they may have chosen to replace a Melech Malchei Hamlachim with a Melech Basar Badam, but he still is Hashem's anointed, right? Neged Meshicho. He says before them, Eshor Milakachti, the Chamor Milakachti, whose ox have I taken, whose donkey have I taken. Rashi points out, Shmuel had rights to use the people's donkeys because he was spending his whole career traveling the whole country, judging the people. You know, it's bad enough he has to spend his whole life on the road. You know, at least he could have submitted expenses, travel expenses. But he doesn't do that, right? He incurs everything out of his own pocket, far beyond what he even had to, you know, let alone bribery, as he continues. His whole career of judging, not one iota of what anyone can identify as an ounce of personal gain. Right. People respond, Pasuk Dalet, Lo Ashaktanu, Lo Ratzosanu, Lo Lakachtu Ad Ish Me'uma. You haven't defrauded us, you haven't oppressed, you haven't taken the thing. You've not taken the thing. So Shmuel, as he transitions out of the position as a shofet, first he needs to establish that he did not do anything wrong. Why is he that? You know, you could say for personal vindication, but as we'll see, Shmuel has to set this up now because one of the main goals in Shmuel's speech is going to be to get the people to realize that they've sinned. They need to realize that their request for a king was a mistake. It's going to be why? Because he needs them to do tshuva. This project will not succeed unless they realize that they were mistaken from the beginning. They've made their bed and now we're going to have to make the most of it. But that can't happen unless they acknowledge the mistake that they've made. Tshuva in general in Sefer Shmuel is going to be a critical theme. We've already had it, from Eli and his sons who failed, and then the rescue of the Aron, where the people were not going to be rescued unless they did tshuva, and then they did tshuva in Perek Zion. It's going to come up again and again and again with Shaul and with David HaMelech, most famously. But here as well, the people, we need to move past this. We can't just say this is history. They're going to need to realize that they've made a mistake. For that to happen, so first, they're going to need, Shmuel needs personal vindication. You have to realize that I didn't do anything wrong, and there was no reason to replace Shmuel of all Shoftim. Okay. Then Shmuel says, this is an interesting pasuk. He says, Vayomer Alehem, Eid Hashem Bachem, the Eid Meshicho Hayom Hazeh. So Hashem is a witness, and his anointed is a witness. Right, that's Shaul. Kiloma tasem biyadim u'uma. He didn't find anything. By Yomer, aid. He said, witness. Right, JPS 1917 translation says, and they said he is witness. But we know Hebrew grammar, right? They're playing loose and fast. That's not what the pasuk said. The pasuk did not say by Yomru aid. It says by Yomer aid. So imagine the farshim are all going to jump. Why is he saying witness? And who is the witness? There are three possibilities, going in order of least to most interesting. Least interesting, Dot Mikra has this possibility, is Shaul is the witness. It's Hashem and Meshicho. So you can imagine, Shmuel is up there, on a huge platform. Shaul is probably right next to him. And Shaul gets up and Shaul says, yes, I'm a witness, we declare, Shmuel never did anything wrong. Okay, it's one possibility. Second possibility is it's the people who all call out that aid. And why do we use the singular? Because we know that especially in moments of real national unification, the Torah Shebichsav will refer to the Am in the singular. Most famously at Har Sinai, Yichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. So this moment, right after the thrilling unification of Bnei Yisrael with, under Shaul, Shaul's leadership in Perek Yud Aleph, so they're still united, and so all the people say as one aid. Hey, that could be. You know, we do note that that Pasuk Dalid, where the people were talking, they said Vayom Ru, so it's a little weird for it to be Vayom Ru and then Vayomer. Okay, it's another possibility. The third possibility, which Rashi quotes, the Radak quotes, and we'll have to flesh out where this is coming from. As we continue on the parash, we'll see the depths of where this is coming from. Where did I put this over here? Right here. Look at Rashi says, Vayomer Aid. Who calls out? Says Rashi, Baskol. The Baskol, they heard the voice of God was what rang out and said, I am a witness. Rashi quotes the Medrash that says there are three times in Tanakh where the Baskol came out to affirm a claim. The vindication of Tamar in the court case of Tamar and Yehuda. The Shlomo's judgment between the two women and the baby. And this case is number three. We'll see why that is so important over here. But now just realize that Rashi says Hashem actually himself, the Bas Kol, calls out and confirms what Shmuel had said. The way it's said in the Medrash, the Radak brings us here al Atar, is, you know, you guys are confirming that there is no public knowledge of any malfeasance on Shmuel's behalf, and I am confirming that even Bechadre Chadarim, there is no secret case of Shmuel doing anything of anything wrong. Okay, we'll flesh this out more a little later on. But you know, just at this point, we should realize this is another example. We note at the very beginning of Shmuel's speech, you know, Shamati b'kolchem, I listened to your voice. Another kol, right? Rashi is putting another kol into the parak, and they're going to come, hot and heavy. Now, this idea of, you know, a couple of other things which are reflected here. Shmuel's personal vindication sounds an awful lot like Moshe Rabbeinu's personal vindication in the Korach story. When Dasan and Aviram, you know, he calls them up to come and they refuse, and they say some pretty disgusting things. So Moshe, you know, really loses it. Vayichar le Moshe me'od. He's extremely furious. Kind of scary to imagine what that looked like. And Moshe Rabbeinu there says, at the moment of the Korach rebellion, I haven't benefited one iota, right? I did not take not even one donkey. So, you know, Shmuel, at the moment, we talked about this, I think, but Shmuel, where he's, you know, people are rebelling against Shmuel, basically, and they're rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu, so we have yet another Moshe and Shmuel parallel. They're completely honest, nothing at all on either one of them, and they're both facing down rebellions, as we pointed out, of course. Moshe's, you know, the earth is going to open up and swallow up Dasan and Aviram, but Shmuel is going to have to swallow his pride because this rebellion is successful. Shaul is going to transition. The other thing to note is that, you know, also an example of Shmuel in the Moshe Rabbeinu mold, that again and again and again, is this whole phenomenon of the closing speech. Moshe, I don't know, Sefer Dvarim, but Moshe does this, you know, he set the whole template for it. And then Moshe's primary student, right, exactly, and Shmuel is Korach. Yes, exactly, someone sent the chat, right? Shmuel, the descendant of Korach, right? The tragic, you know, the irony of that, right? Shmuel is the tikkun for Korach. He's Korach's descendant, and he's the tikkun for Korach, and that he unites Kal Yisrael, and he reprises the Moshe Rabbeinu role, right? But then, you know, Korach's descendant is also like the Korach victim. Very interesting. So besides that, Shmuel is also given the closing speech, which Moshe, you know, founded. And then Yehoshua, the other prominent personality in Tanakh, whose whole mission in life, basically, is to fill in the shoes of Moshe. Shmuel and Yahshua, those are the two people who really fill in Moshe's shoes. Both of them give similar closing speeches. We'll see there are a lot of similarities between Shmuel's and Yahshua's. He talked about, you know, mentioning at the beginning that they've gotten old. Moshe did not do that because Moshe did not get old, right? Moshe is 120, but he was as young as he was when he was, you know, when he was 20. But Yahshua got old. That was similar. And Yahshua also calls the people to serve as he. Okay, so that's the first part of the closing speech. Shmuel needs to be vindicated because that's going to set up what's going to come. What comes next is really a dead repeat of what Yahshua really does. Moshe also, but Yahshua does this as well, which is as the leader closes, you know, as he gives his closing argument, you go through Jewish history, you go back to the beginning, you go through all the chesed that Hashem has done for Am Yisrael, and then you bring that into and including the current time. So Shmuel does that over here. Shmuel says, Hashem who made Moshe and Aaron, again, bringing them back in. Shmuel and Moshe and Shmuel and Aaron, it's just again and again and again. Right? He's always bringing them back in. Shmuel says, Hisyatsu, stand here and I'm going to judge you before God. Everything that Hashem did for you. And we go back to Yaakov, when Yaakov went down to Egypt and the people cried out to Hashem, Veishlach Hashem es Moshe ves Aaron, he took you out of Mitzrayim. He brought you here. Then he reprises the history of the Shoftim. You forgot Hashem. He sold, you know, you had Sisera, and he had the Plishtim, and you had Moab to deal with. And you'd say you sinned, and then Hashem would send you other people to save you. Yerubal, Bedan, Yiftach, Shmuel. Yerubal is Gidon. Bedan, Chazal say that's the son of Dan, that's Shimshon and Yiftach. Why does Shmuel mention Gidon, Shimshon and Yiftach instead of mentioning the earlier Shoftim, Devorah, Asniel, and Ehud? So Rashi quotes the Gemara about this, right? The classic line of Yiftach Kedoro b'Shmuel b'Doro, that, you know, whatever the generation was holding, whatever the leadership was, you know, the Hashem would find someone who could save the generation, and then, you know, that led up into the current trajectory, that whole history from Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hashem sent you Moshe and Aaron, you know, the Shoftim, Hashem sent you all the Shoftim. Now you guys wanted to change course. You have another threat from Nachash, the king of Ammon, and this time you said, Lo ki melchim ochaleinu, we want to change the playbook, and this time we want a king. And Shmuel closes, he says, Hashem elokecha malkechem. Right? He's not giving up on this point. Shmuel still opposed to monarchy. Hashem, your God, is your king. It was never supposed to be that way, right? He's judging them. He's going back to Jewish history. He's looking at the pattern, bringing it into the present. You still have Shmuel here. You still have one of the Shoftim who Hashem had sent to you, right? And that's Shmuel's opening move. You can look. You see the same thing that Moshe, especially Yeshua, does, right? Moshe, this is the end of Kisavo, then going into Nitzavim. So, you know, Moshe says, we look back to Yetzias Mitzrayim and everything Hashem did for us, and we did food and drink and the man, and this is where the Chumash tells us about their clothing, you know, somehow not getting worn for 40 years of travel, bringing us all up to this point. And then Moshe is going to continue in Nitzavim, and he's going to, you know, talk about they have a choice of who they're going to serve, all the same stuff. Yahshua, it's even stronger. Yahshua, this is, you know, familiar from the Haggadah. Yeah, I took Terach Avi Avraham Avi Nachor. Yeah, sure, really goes back to the beginning. You know, he doesn't just go back to Yaakov. He goes back to Avraham. I brought in Terach Yisrael. I sent Moshe and Aaron, just like Shmuel says. I everything with Egypt and the Midbar, and then Yahushua brings it into the present. Right now, here we are. Then you crossed into the Jordan River, and Hashem gave us Terach Yisrael, and now we're standing over here, and you need to choose what you're going to do. So that's the closing, that's like the Moshe Rabbeinu founded closing speech move. Realize everything Hashem has done for us. Realize everything Hashem continues to do for us. And now the question is, what is the future? What's the future going to look like? Right? So now Yahshua shifts into the present. And it's this three psukim, which is brief, but is the key hashkafic point, you can really say, of the entire Sefer Shmuel. Now, boil down into these three psukim right here. For all the personalities and the politics and David and Avshalom and people and da, 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 the core idea of Shmuel is right here in these three psukim. Right? Shmuel, who's been so opposed to the monarchy, now says something incredible. Basically says, this monarchy is, the king is irrelevant. The king is irrelevant. Why? Let's see. He says in Pasuk Gimel, Hinei HaMelech Asher Bechartem. Okay, you wanted your king, you have your king. Hashem is your king, but you wanted your king, you have him. Asher Sha'altem, Hinei Nasana Hashem Aleich HaMelech. Yet another goodness Hashem has done for you. We've given you the king. Imtiru as Hashem, if you fear God. Va'avadetem Oso, and you serve him. Ushmatem Bekolo, you listen to his voice. Or Shmuel began, I listen to your voice. Now Shmuel says, if you listen to his call, Belosim ruas pi Hashem, you don't rebel. Yisim gamatem gamamelach Hashem lach alechem acher Hashem lokechem. Right? You're good. If you listen to what Hashem says, things will be good for you and they'll be good for your king. Vim lo sishru b'kol Hashem, repeating that phrase, you listen to Hashem's voice. Risim espi Hashem, you rebel. Vaisa yad Hashem b'chem uv avoseichem. That's a tricky line. What does it mean exactly? The fathers, different views out there. But for now, what matters for us is Shmuel saying, what the king does doesn't really matter. What the military strategies or the diplomatic politics, which ambassadors he sends to which nation, you know, Shlomo is going to spend so much time forging marriage alliances all over the Middle East. Shmuel is saying, it's irrelevant. If you follow the mitzvos, you'll be fine. Your king will be fine. If not, it's not going to go well. Everything hinges on Ribono Shel Olam, and nothing ultimately hinges on the petty policies of the king that you are so excited you have. Lo ma'alev, lo morid. It's not going to make a difference. Where does that core hashkafa come from? All Shmuel really is doing here is just repeating the original statement of his mother. This was the core idea at the close of Tfilat Chana, way, way back in Parak Beis. Like mother, like son. That's exactly what Chana was saying at the end. That Hashem is the one who's all powerful, and Hashem is the one who's all in charge. Raglei chasidav yishmor shirim b'choshech yidamu, said Chana. Right? Hashem is the one who protects. Ki lo b'choach yigbar ish. Lo b'choach yigbar ish. Military might, physical strength is irrelevant. It's exactly what Chana had said, and that's what Shmuel is doubling and tripling down on. Hashem gave you the king, but for all intents and purposes, it is a charade. Because all that matters is the Ribono Shel Olam. Right? And Chana continued, Hashem yechatu merivav, v'alav v'shamayim yareim Hashem. Hashem is going to thunder against his enemies. Keep that in mind, because of course, Hashem is going to thunder against Bnei Yisrael at the end of this speech. Right? Chana said, Hashem thunders against his enemies. Yodin af se'aretz. V'yitin oz l'malkov, yarem karim mashicho. Who gives might to the king? Who lifts him up? Said Chana. It's Hashem. It's Ribono Shel Olam. He's the one who decides if the king will succeed or fail. So what, you know, you guys, you wanted your king, you have your king, but ultimately it's basically irrelevant, right? That is Shmuel's core message. Hashem is all powerful and everything will hinge on whether you and your king will listen to his voice or not. And spoiler alert, Shaul is going to fail and he's going to fail quickly, right? That's where next parak, it's going to be downhill from there. But that's all that matters. Right? He's saying we're giving you the king, but it's really irrelevant. Right? I was opposed. Hashem said do it. Prime reason Hashem said do it is because it doesn't really matter. Right? And by the way, who's responsible? Who's the real responsibility you lie with? Right? So you know we think of Shmuel. Oh, it's the book of leadership. What should leadership look like? What political system? Is there a king? Who's going to be a king? You know, Shmuel and these three psukim kind of undermines that whole thing. Because Shmuel says, you know, we spend so much time when we learn Tanakh thinking about the leaders. What really matters is the followers. What are the people gonna look like? Right? That's what Shmuel said. If you are good, then Hashem will be good with you and your king. So, you know, it's like a real upending of that perspective. Really matters is the behavior of the people. Okay, so Shmuel then in his speech so far there have been two pieces to his speech so far, right? Number one, personal vindication getting the people to realize that they never should have, you know, thrown him out. Number two, emphasizing Hashem's total power and chesed in Jewish history, and that continues to this day, and therefore, you know, the existence of a melech doesn't really matter. So now Shmuel is going to go in for the kill, and Shmuel is going to kind of really push over the edge to get him to realize that they sin, because again, that's just going to be, if this melech plan has any hope of success, right, as the Rambam says, right, the first step to tshuva is recognizing the sin. So that's going to have to happen first. So now we're going to have the famous miracle, which will unpack, you know, the various levels of meaning behind it. So Shmuel now is everyone together, right? It's that dramatic moment. He says, see the amazing Hashem will do before your eyes. Hello, Kitzir Chitim Hayom. It is the time of the wheat harvest, right? So what month is that? The month of the wheat harvest? It's the holiday of Shavuos, right? Wheat season is, barley season is Pesach. Nisan is for the barley. The harvest of the wheat happens in Siva. So it's Shavuos time. Keep that in mind. Dead of summer. Never rains in Eretz Yisrael right now. Hashem is going to send thunder and rain, right? Once again, kolot. Another example right here. Thunder, voices, that word kol coming up again and again. You'll realize what you did was terrible. Right? Shmuel davins. Shmuel always davins. Chana davins. Moshe davins. Shmuel davins again. We have the thunder and the rain. The people are terrified. Right? Davin to Hashem for your servants. Right? We sin. And this is exactly what Shmuel had been hoping for. Right? Get that admission. Get that line. We sin. Yasafnu al kol chatosenu ra'a. We recognize that we made a mistake. You know, it's kind of interesting. It's like a bit of an aside, but we talk about Shmuel in the Moshe Rabbeinu mold. Truth is, aren't there echoes here of like Paro and Mitzrayim, right? That we have the Hashem sends the plague, and then, you know, Paro's terrified and runs to Shmuel and says, you know, I sin, Davin, make it go away. You know, you have that being reprised here, except it's not, you know, Moshe with Paro, it's Shmuel with Am Yisrael. This is interesting. But why, what was the symbolism, right? We have to ask two questions. Why Kolodu Matar? If, you know, in theory, Shmuel can ask for anything. Why specifically this? And why does this miracle in particular make the people so afraid? Why is the Navi emphasizing that? I mean, you know, if you think about what Hashem, what Klai shall see in the Chumash, even look at the Korach rebellion, right? You know, the earth opens up and swallows people. Yeah, a thunderstorm in the summer, that's bizarre. I was once in Israel in the summer in August and we had some rain. No thunder, but I was once in Israel in August and there was like a 10-minute shower. It was really weird. You know, is that enough to terrify the people? So why is this the nace and why the reaction that we have? So you look through and we can unpack, like there are a few different things that might be happening here all at the same time. Rashi focuses on Shmuel's age. And the way Rashi explains it is that the symbolism of the thunder in the summer is that B'nai Yisrael wanted Shmuel to retire because they thought he no longer had the physical vigor necessary to lead the people in war. So says Rashi, look, you see that Hashem can bring rain in the summer, right? So what the time is doesn't really matter in the world of Ibn Shalom. So too, I could have continued to lead you, even though, as he said, Zakanti Vasafti. Right? You didn't need to ask for a king, even though I'm old. So that's, you know, level number one. It underscores the sin of replacing Shmuel, because he's still got it. Right, you can't put limits on Shmuel's ability because it all comes from Hashem. just like you can't put limits on Hashem's ability to control the weather. Second level that you have here, we have to scroll down for a minute and it'll jump out. I saw Rav Amnon Bazak made this point. I was happy to see because I was thinking about it. What's the next thing that Shmuel says? The very next pasuk, right? So the people were terrified and they say, daven for us, we sinned, we shouldn't have asked for a king. Put that on the list of all the things we did wrong in the Jewish history. It's a long list. Shmuel's immediate response, pasuk chaf, yom Shmuel, al tiro, do not fear, atama sisem esara zos. You may stop, you're right. What should you do about it? Ach al tasu mechre Hashem, vavaratem az Hashem, v'chol v'avchem. Right? What's the reaction to sin? It happened. It is in the past, wasn't good, but you know, what are you gonna do? So what you're gonna do is avaratem as Hashem b'chol levavchem. So that's really interesting, because where are we? This is a familiar line. Avaratem as Hashem b'chol levavchem. Right? When are we told to do that? It's V'chayim Shemoah. Right? I think I put it on the sheet. Did I not put it down? I forgot.
It was further up. I saw it.
It was okay. There we go. Thank you. Here we go. Sorry about that. Right? If you do that, then what's going to be the response? We know this. I'll give you rain in its proper time. Right? So this is like level number two, is that Shmuel is referencing the Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos part of Sefer Dvarim, right? Which is what we're trying to do right here. And saying, hey, you guys are failing. So thunder, rain in the summer reminds them of drought in the winter. And it reminds them that the deal still holds. If you serve Hashem, then rain in its proper time. If you don't, then no rain in winter, rain in summer. So it's a real reminder that even though they have replaced Hashem as their melech, they haven't really. Right, Hashem is still in charge. They still are completely subservient to Hashem. There is no change in the Hashem people relationship, despite their request for a king. That's maybe piece number two. Third piece, which we actually mentioned a couple of weeks ago, but this week I see it's in the Alshech, the Alshech's commentary on Sefer Shmuel. The Alshech, by the way, is a lot of fun because he's one of the Alshech lived in Tzfat, in the whole Tzfat time. And I took a Revel course on Tzfat once. And they said that one of the defining characteristics of the Mefarshim from Tzfat is they valued creativity extremely. So anybody who's writing a Perish on Tanakh in Tzfat at this time is often going to give multiple answers to questions, because their real focus is on chiddush. So if you have a kasha and you have a teretz, so someone might have given your answer already, right? But if I have three or four answers to a question, one of these has never been said before. So Yasha, one of these a lot of fun is because you get a lot of new material from him, because that's all what they're trying to do. So what's the suggestion he makes? What is another level of symbolism of the thunder in the summer is that it really perfectly encapsulates the sin of the people, because rain in the proper time is a tremendous bracha. So the sin the people had was not necessarily asking for a king. It's a pasuk in Chumash. It's one of the Tariq mitzvahs, right? The Rambam counted it. We went through the different views about a king. Som tosim alecha melech. In the proper time, asking for a king is a mitzvah saseh. When is the wrong time to ask for a king? When you have, as your shofate, the greatest leader ever since Moshe and Aaron. Right? When Yiftach is the shofate, that would have been a decent time to ask for a melech. When Shimshon was the shofate. Pelegesh Begiva, when nobody was the shofate and there was anarchy. Great time to ask for a melech. You know when you shouldn't ask for a melech? When Shmuel is the shofate. And he's like the best you've ever had since you were in the Midbar. So that is the symbolism, he says, of the rain. Rain in winter would be great, but rain in the summer was completely inappropriate, and that is why the people were so thrown. Okay, but there might be one final level of meaning here, which is let's take a step back. Let's take a step back and like think about what this whole scene looked like. And when we have something familiar to this in Jewish history, that all the people are gathered together, right? The whole Am is together. Shmuel is facing them. Before their eyes and ears, they hear thunder. They are terrified and they react to the Navi. I think a couple weeks ago, where the people saw the... What?
Eliyahu on Har Kamel.
So
Eliyahu, that's in the future.
No, but I don't think there's any. I don't think there's any thunder.
Okay.
The flame comes down. They're all like amazed, right? There's no thunder. There's no right. And the recoiling in terror, right? The terror of the people.
Har Sinai,
right? Har Sinai, the kolot and the lapidim. Kolot. I should have put on the sheet again and again and again, both in Shmos and in Dvarim. The Chumash emphasizes the kolot that the people heard at Har Sinai. They're all gathered together. They hear the kolot and they're terrified, right? That might be an additional level of meaning to the fact that it's specifically kolot umatar, right? It's a storm that the people are seeing. And that might also tie into why Rashi thought it was so important to tell us about the baskol, right? In Rashi's read, the people actually hear the word of Hashem, the voice of Hashem at this national gathering, right? And that might be why the Navi has to emphasize that the people are so terrified. At the moment where they are trying to, right, they crowned Hashem, Naaseh V'Nishma. They accepted Hashem as their king. Now this is like the anti-Har Sinai moment. They're being called out for it. They want to replace Hashem with a Melech Baser V'Dam. And at that moment, they need a reminder of what it is and who it is that you are turning your backs on. And don't forget, you had this moment at Har Sinai. Everyone was there. Moshe was telling them to say for Dvarim. Though, right, Asheri Yeshno Po, Asheri Nenu Po. So you may not have been there, but you need a refresher, right? It's a new generation, a new Knesset La'aretz. You need a refresher what happened at Har Sinai. We're not going to give you the exact same experience. We're going to give you one that can remind you of it and remind you what it is they're turning your back on, because clearly people are forgetting. When people get the message, the people say, you're right, we've sinned. So those are a few different, you know, all at the same time, I think, that can all be operating with Shmuel's nace and the people's reaction and the closing message, which again is just, you may have replaced Hashem politically, but you haven't actually done anything. Okay, so to move to the end of the parak, so you know the now what, right? So number one, Shmuel's response was, it's okay, right? Sin is okay. The avira in and of itself in Yadus is never the end game. There's always, you can always move on from there. How are you going to move on? So you know, interestingly, because you might have thought, you know, the way to repair the sin is to undo the sin. You might have thought the way to do it is to fire Shaul, but Shmuel says no, because a king is not inherently bad, right? There's no sin in having a king per se. The sin is the attitude of replacing Hashem with the king. So that's why Shmuel's telling him the real tshuva is keep the king, but nonetheless, avaratem as Hashem b'chol levavchem, that the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos still has to remain intact and you double down on it. And then Shmuel closes by pulling another page out of the Moshe and Yeshua playbook, where he says, you know, you guys can mess up, but Hashem is never going to abandon you, because you are his nation, right? It's an eternal relationship. Yeshua says this at the Achan crisis. Moshe says this several times. The relationship between Hashem and Bnei Israel is eternal. So that means, on the one hand, that Hashem is never going to abandon you. It also means that you may have a melech, but like it or not, you can never disassociate yourselves from Hashem, right? It's a two-way street. Hashem is with you for all time, and you're with Hashem. So I'm telling you, because the relationship hasn't changed, and the relationship cannot change. Lo yitosh Hashem es amo. Bavur Shemo Hagadol. Giwil Hashem Asos Eschem Lalam. You're Hashem's nation, like it or not. So whether you're ruled by a shofet or a melech, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. And then Shmuel closes, and he says, Gam Anochi Chalil Li Mechato Lashem Michado L'Spalel Barchem. I'll never stop davening for you. Right? He's not going to rule them anymore, but he's never going to stop davening for them. And I'll still teach you the way, right, the good and straight path. Just to scroll down for a second, when Farsha makes an interesting comment on that. Where was it? Yeah, Matsudas David. Matsudas David points out that what's going on here? Shmuel is doing v'halachta bedrachav. Shmuel is behaving the same way as Hashem. Hashem forgives you, and I'll forgive you, despite the fact that you fired me, right? Well, if Hashem looks past that, Hashem's relationship with Am Yisrael is eternal, so I am going to look past that as well. So Shmuel is doubling down on the theme of tshuva, and he's modeling for them how they're supposed to behave. Behave like Hashem. I'm going to forgive you, even though you were terrible to me. Hashem will forgive you, even though you were terrible to him. And Shmuel's relationship with the people continues despite the existence of a melech. And that is kind of a proxy, right? They fired Shmuel, but Shmuel's still there, still davening for them, still teaching them. And likewise, they fired Hashem, but Hashem is still there as well. And then Shmuel's closing pasuk before we come into the era of Shaul. Ah, you're right, I see the battery on the computer's almost dead. So Baruch Hashem, we're at the... here we go. Well, the guy goes on a longer parak. Closes. Ah, yiru es Hashem, right? Fear Hashem, va'avadatem oso be'emes, which are lines which are straight out of Yehoshua and Parakaf Dalid, right? Just reprising that line. What matters is fearing Hashem, serving Hashem be'emes, during Yehoshua, b'chol levavchem. Once again, right? The second time, b'chol levavchem. Kiru es Hashem hagdil imachem. And then last pasuk, bim harea tiro. Gam atem malkechem tisafu, right? And if you're bad, both you and your king shall be swept away. The king doesn't matter. Ultimately, even the king's behavior, right? Shmuel saying it all comes down to the people, and the fate of this whole project is all going to hinge on that, right? Shmuel ends on an ominous note. You know, if you're bad, things are not going to go well. He could have ended with a positive, but he doesn't want to, right? This is his last moment. He's trying to scare the people, right? This is their last. He's getting his last message across, his closing argument, which is, again, you never should have asked for a king, but I need you to realize that. But at the same time, even though asking for the king was bad, it doesn't change anything. And the way for tshuva to happen now is not by getting rid of your politics, but by kind of ignoring those and focusing on the eternal Hashem-Klal Yisrael relationship. And Shmuel is going to stick around as a proxy for that. So, you know, next week the Nebi is going to throw us totally into the deep end of Shaul. Things will start to get a little depressing. But, you know, this week Shmuel's resonant message.